What we see. Before radically challenging the physicalist position, credit must be given to the knowledge it accumulated. It's an impressive achievement, all of it based on the maxim, seeing is believing. There's certainly a lot to see. Within 14 billion light years or so, the actual universe may be much larger, there are probably 80 billion galaxies, which astronomers classify as large and small, spiral, elliptical, or irregular in shape, normal, showing no major activity in their centers, or active, exploding with vast amounts of energy and matter coming out of their centers. Within a typical galaxy like our own Milky Way, a large spiral type, there are as many as 200 to 400 billion stars. Most of these are called red dwarfs, are small, faint, and red in color, and last for tens of billions of years. The stars we see in the night sky are much brighter, and they have whitish or bluish colors. These bright stars can be seen from much farther away, but what we see doesn't reflect their true distribution. A high percentage of stars other than red dwarfs are like our own sun, and many are now shown to be surrounded by planets. As we saw, if a percentage of these planets harbor the right conditions for life, then the camp that believes in randomness has an advantage over the anthropic camp, with its belief that life on Earth is special. To date, NASA's planet-hunting Kepler spacecraft has spotted 1,000 potential Earths in deep space. As we were writing this book, a new candidate, Kepler-452b, was added to the list, situated 1,400 light-years away, making it one of the closest possibilities. The size of Kepler-452b and its distance from the star it orbits fall into the Goldilocks zone, of perhaps being not too hot or too cold to sustain oceans and be suitable for life. In total, the universe contains as many stars as 1 followed by 23 zeros, or 100 sextillion, a staggering number, but by no means the most staggering. A vast amount of luminous matter, in the form of stars, lights up the galaxies. Even though there are more stars than grains of sand on Earth, they only make up 10% of the total mass in the observable universe. Calculating the total number of protons and electrons making up regular atomic matter, one comes up with 1 followed by 80 zeros, or 100,000 trillion sextillion 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 atoms. This is equivalent to 25 million sextillion Earths. Here the visible trail dwindles away, because all this luminous matter accounts for approximately 4% of the stuff in the universe. Most of it, 96% or so, is dark, and therefore unseen and unknown. But at least we have a credible inventory of the cosmos, as produced by NASA's Wilkinson Microwave Probe, WMAP, 4.6% regular matter, 24% dark matter, and 71.4% dark energy. Most of the universe is at the very least quite exotic. Quite a black box indeed. As things stand, dark matter and energy are surmises formulated by painstaking, elaborate lines of reasoning. Their actual existence is several steps removed from seeing is believing. Some skeptics warn that physics is flirting with fantasy. Imagine that you are looking around the animal kingdom and see horses galloping through the open plains. Turning your gaze, you also see a one-horned sea mammal called the narwhal. Do these visible facts allow you to reason that unicorns are real, with the body of a horse and the horn of the narwhal? Our modern answer is no. But in the Middle Ages, there wasn't such a strict divide between the real and the mythical. Cosmology is currently saddled with the full menagerie of mythical creatures, from quarks and superstrings to the multiverse, created through mathematical inference alone. Dark matter is a prime example of real by inference. First, dark matter is inferred from the speeded-up rotation of the stars in a typical galaxy. The stars are being pulled around by the gravitational force of some outside mass faster than physics can account for. NASA uses gravity in the same way when it steers a space probe close to a huge planet like Jupiter or Saturn, so that the planet's gravity can serve as a slingshot, speeding up the probe as it whips past. As normally measured, the typical galaxy doesn't contain enough mass to explain the observed rotation, nor does the known universe. Second, most galaxies are found in clusters of various sizes. Some are small, containing only a few galaxies, while others are massive, containing tens of thousands of galaxies and emitting vast amounts of X-rays. These giant clusters also seem to contain more mass than is counted up, either in stars or the gaseous material inside the cluster, which is only observed through X-rays. By inference, more matter must be contained somewhere inside the cluster. Finally, when distant background galaxies are observed as their light passes through a nearer cluster of galaxies, such as the Bullet Cluster, the bending of its light due to the gravitational field inside the near cluster, acting as a gravitational lens, indicates that a lot more dark matter resides inside the cluster. These three pieces of evidence are in agreement, based on the same variable, gravity. They result in precise numerical predictions that have been confirmed. The inferences being drawn aren't weak, but they aren't sufficient either. To illustrate, imagine that you are in a windowless room that's rotating like a star. You can feel the centrifugal force as you are bounced against the walls, and you infer that something is pulling on the room from the outside. That's a strong inference, but you can see its limitations to describe where the external force is coming from. A tornado, an angry elephant, a giant playing with his toys. Nothing can be said realistically with only an inference to go on, despite the finest calculations from inside the room telling you how strong the force is.